Good Sabbath, good high Sabbath. Hallelujah. So pleased to be here today. Trumpets is an annual high day. Yom Teruah in Hebrew, which means day of shouting. And the shout is one of the calls produced by the trumpet in the hands of a good artist with trumpet. It's often called the Feast of Trumpets. In Leviticus 23, beginning at verse 24, it's confusing. Leviticus 23:20-25, and well, here it is. Leviticus 23:24. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, this is Yahweh speaking to Moses. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you have a rest, a remembrance of blowing of trumpets, a set apart gathering. You do no servile work. You shall bring an offering made by fire to Yahweh. Or our offering was made by the Internal Revenue Service or someone in that group. But we do have offerings made by fire and other offerings, which we will talk about a little later. And all the scriptural feast days include the sounding of trumpets. On the first day of the month, we read in Psalm 81, beginning at verse 1, shout for joy to Elohim our strength. Raise a shout to the Elohim of Jacob. Lift up a song and beat the tambourine, the pleasant lyre, and the harp. Blow the ram's horn at the time of the new moon, which was today, beginning last night. At the full moon, many feast days occur at full moon, and on our festival day. For this is a time for Israel, a law for Israel, and a right ruling of the Elohim Yahweh, the Elohim of Jacob. He appointed it in Yehoshua for a witness. He appointed it in Joseph, for a witness when he went throughout the land of Mitzrayim. We see trumpets in many places in the scriptures, and this high day of Yahweh's is even called the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets includes trumpets for a very special reason. They remind us that Yahweh saves his people who call upon him in faith and righteousness with the sound of the trumpets. Let's look at what trumpets are for. Why blow the trumpets? Turn to Numbers 10 and the first 10 verses. Numbers 10, verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. Make them of beaten work, and you shall use them for calling the congregation and for breaking camp. And when they blow both of them, all the congregation shall meet before you at the door of the tent of meeting. And if they blow one, then the leaders, the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather to you. So that's like calling a conference of of the vice presidents. And if they blow a shout, the camps that lie on the east side shall depart. So they've already arranged when they're leaving. People are all packed up and ready to go. And then they sound this shout sound with a trumpet, which is like beep, 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 something like that. And the camps on the east side depart. The east side of the tabernacle. Tabernacle's in the middle of the camp. Verse 5. That was verse 5. Verse 6. And when you blow a shout the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall depart. They blow a shout for them to depart. And when the assembly is to be assembled, you blow, but do not blow the shout. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, blow the trumpets, and it shall be for you for a law forever throughout your generations. So trumpets were a means of communication among the people of Israel, but they were also a very important form of communication with Yahweh himself. In Numbers 10, verse 9, when you go into battle in your land against the enemy that distresses you, then you shall shout with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall be saved from your enemies. And verse 10, in the day of your gladness, and in your appointed times, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over your peace offerings, and they shall be a remembrance for you before your Elohim. I am Yahweh your Elohim. Now, Nehemiah, the governor of Jerusalem, believed it would work in his day. They were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem at around 440 before the Common Era, before the Messiah. And they were being attacked while they built it. Nehemiah 4, verse 17 says, those who were building on the wall and those bearing burdens, those loading, working with one hand in the work, and with the other holding a weapon, just in case. As for the builders, each one had his sword girded on his side as he built, and the one who sounded the ram's horn was beside me, writes Nehemiah. And I said to the nobles and to the deputy rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. In whatever place you hear the sound of the ram's horn, join with us. There is one there our Elohim fights for us. Maybe Nehemiah had read about the trumpets being made to call for Yahweh's help in times of trouble. Or maybe he had read the old story in 2 Chronicles 13. Let's read that and see these trumpets, how these trumpets really do work. 2 Chronicles 13, beginning at verse 1. In the 18th year of King Jehoram, Ahijah began to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Micaiahu, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was fighting between Ahijah and Jeroboam. And that's between the southern tribes of Judah and Levi and some Benjamin, versus the northern tribes of primarily Israel, as we call them. Okay. Verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 13. And Abia joined battle with an army of mighty men of battle, 400,000 choice men. This is the southern tribes. And Jehoram drew up in battle formation against him with 800,000 choice men, mighty, brave men. And Abiah stood on Mount Zeribim, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, Jeroboam and all Israel. Do you not know that Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, has given the reign over Israel to David forever, to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, son of Nathan, a servant of Solomon, son of David, rose up and rebelled against his master, and vain men gathered to him, sons of Belial, and strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, son of Shlomo, Solomon, when Rehoboam was a young and tender of heart and could not stand against them. And now you think to stand against the reign of Yahweh, which is in the hand of the sons of David. And you are a large crowd, and with you the gold calves, which Jeroboam made for you as mighty ones. Have you not thrown out the priests of Yahweh, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and made for yourself priests like the people of the lands, so that whoever comes to ordain himself with a young bull and seven rams then becomes a priest of what are not mighty ones? But as for us, Yahweh is our Elohim, and we have not forsaken him. And priests are serving Yahweh, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites in the work, and are burning to Yahweh every morning and every evening burnt offerings and sweet incense. And the showbread is set on the clean table, and the lampstand of gold with its lamps to burn every evening. For we are guarding the charge of Yahweh our Elohim. But you have forsaken him. And see, with us as head is Elohim himself and his priests, with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you. O children of Israel, do not fight against Yahweh Elohim of your fathers, for you are not going to prosper." Abiah told it like it is. He really was a great-grandson of King David. But Jeroboam sent round an ambush to go behind them, so they were in front of Yehuda, or Judah, and the ambush was behind them. Uh-oh, the good guys are outnumbered 2-1 and surrounded too. It looks like Judah is in big trouble. And Yehuda turned and saw the battle was both in front and behind them. Then they cried out to Yahweh, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Verse 15, And the men of Judah gave a shout. And it came to be, as the men of Judah shouted, that Elohim smote Jeroboam and all the Israel before Abiah and Yehuda. And the children of Israel fled before Yahweh, and Elohim gave them into their hand. And Abiah and his people smote them with a great slaughter, and 500,000 choice men of Israel fell, slain. Verse 18, and the children of Israel were humbled at that time, while the children of Judah prevailed, because they relied on Yahweh, Elohim of their fathers. Wasn't that great? Yes. Yahweh heard the sound of the trumpet and saved his people. Want to see it again? We go back about 500 years to the time when Israel was just entering the promised land. Actually, it's more like 900 years. The first city they came to was Jericho. This is about 1500 before Yahshua, 1500 years. We go to the book of Joshua, chapter 6, verse 1, Joshua 6, 1. And Jericho was shut up because of the presence of the sons of Israel, none going out and none coming in. And Yahweh said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho and its king, mighty brave men, into your hand. And you shall go around the city, all the men of battle, going around the city once. Do this for 6 days. And let seven priests bear seven ram's horns before the ark, and on the seventh day, they go around the city seven times, while the priests blow the trumpets. Verse 5, and it shall be, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the horn, that all the people shout with a great shout. When it says all the people, that means all the soldiers. They shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people, that's the soldiers, shall go up every man straight before him. And Yahshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven ram's horns before the Ark of Yahweh. And he said to the people, the soldiers, pass over and go around the city, and let him who is armed pass over before the Ark of Yahweh. And it came to be, when Yahshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing seven ram's horns before Yahweh passed over and blew the horns, and the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh went before them. And the armed men went before the priests who blew the horns, and the rear guard came after the ark, going on and blowing the horns. But Yehoshua had commanded the people, saying, do not shout or create or cause your voice to be heard, nor let any word come out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. And the Ark of Yahweh went around the city, going around once, and they came into the camp and stayed in the camp. And Yehoshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of Yahweh, and seven priests bearing seven ram's horns before the Ark of Yahweh were walking, going on, and they blew the horns, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the Ark of Yahweh, going on and blowing the horns. And the second day, They went around the city once and returned to the camp. This they did 6 days. And it came to be on the seventh day that they arose early, about the dawning of the day, and went around the city 7 times in this way. Only on that day did they go around the city 7 times. And it came to be that at the seventh time, when the priest blew the horns, that Yehoshua said to the city, "Shout, for Yahweh has given you the city." And verse 26, the people shouted when the priest blew the horns. And it came to be, when the people heard the sound of the horn, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, and the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Now, some supposed experts will tell you that the vibration of the horns and all the men shouting caused weak spots in the wall to fracture and brought the wall down. But it wasn't just a engineering problem where the men who built the wall were not sharp enough to know how to do it right. It was Yahweh's hand that caused that wall to fall. Those kinds of walls don't get blown down by a wind every day. So, the trumpets brought powerful help from Yahweh. This day today is a special day based partly on salvation with a trumpet. In Leviticus 23, we read, "And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month," that's today, we saw the moon last night, not personally here, but there are witnesses who saw the moon last night and reported it. "You have a rest, a remembrance, a blowing of trumpets, a set-apart gathering," Mikra Kodesh is the Hebrew, "and you do no servile work, and you shall bring an offering made by fire to Yahweh." And that's Leviticus 23, the basic law. Numbers 29 also gives us important information about this this feast and what Yahweh commands. Numbers 29, beginning at the first verse, shows us that what that day was like and still should be today, this new moon high day. Verse 1, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Kodesh convocation. You shall do no customary work. For you, it is a day of blowing the trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to Yahweh, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 7 lambs in their first year, without blemish. That's 9 animals in all, just for this one high day. Verse 3 of Numbers 29, their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for a bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. Also, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you, besides the burnt offering and the grain offering for the new moon, 2 bulls, 1 ram, and 7 lambs. the regular burnt offering with its grain offering, two lambs and their drink offering, according to the ordinance, as a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to Yahweh. Of course, the sacrifices for today are our prayers. We read in Hebrews 13, verse 15, So let's be sure to offer all the sacrifices commanded for today. It seems there should be about 22 prayers just for the animals, some major prayers and some shorter ones. What kind of a prayer do you think it would take to equal the offering of a bull? I don't know, but it would certainly be a sincere and lengthy prayer, I believe. Now, let's get into the prophecies of when this day will be fulfilled, this Feast of Trumpets. It would be good for us to read Joel 2 and the first few verses of Joel 3. So let's do that now. There's some wonderful scriptures about the end times, especially in light of this high day. I'll leave it. We'll go ahead and read Joel 2. Joel 2, verse 1, blow a ram's horn in Zion and sound an alarm in my set-apart mountain. That's in Jerusalem. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of Yahweh is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people many and strong, the like of which has never been nor ever shall be seen again after them, to the years of many generations. Ahead of them a fire has consumed, and behind them a flame burns. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, and behind them they... It is like a desert waste, and from them there is no escape. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and they run like steeds. As the noise of chariots, they leap over mountaintops, as the noise of the flaming fire consuming stubble, as a mighty people and in battle array. Before them, the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of blood. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation. They do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. Verse 10, the earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark. And the stars diminish their brightness. Yahweh gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word, for the day of Yahweh is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Now therefore, says Yahweh, turn to me with all your heart, with feeling, fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So tear your heart and not your garments. Return to Yahweh your Elohim, for For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for Yahweh or Elohim. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, and we will have a consecrated fast in just a matter of days. Verse 16, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babies. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to Yahweh weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Yahweh, and do not give your inheritance to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their Elohim? Then Yahweh will be zealous for his land and pity his people. Yahweh will answer and say to his people, behold, I send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive them away into a barren and desolate land. With his face toward the northern sea and his back toward the southern, the western sea, his stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for Yahweh has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim, for he has given you the former rain faithfully to get the crops started. And he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first months. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army, which I send among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of Yahweh your Elohim, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am Yahweh your Elohim, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my manservants and my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit these days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yahweh. Joel 2:32, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be an escape, as Yahweh has said, and among the survivors whom Yahweh calls. And then going to chapter 3, first few verses. For look, in these days and at that time, when I turn back the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, then I shall gather all Gentiles and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I shall enter into judgment with them there for my people, my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the Gentiles, and they shall have, and they have divided up my land. Yahshua the Messiah tells us more about when and how these things will happen in the Olivet Prophecy, which is found in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. Let's focus on Matthew 24, beginning in verse 29. The whole chapter is something we should all be familiar with. Matthew 24, 29. And immediately after the darkness or pressure of the distress or pressure of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in the heavens. And then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the heaven with power and with much esteem. And he shall send his messengers with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his chosen ones from the four winds and from one end of the heavens to the other. So that's when Yahshua returns, the angels with him will be gathering those who are to be saved. Paul adds a little to the prophecies of this great high day in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. I got a cup, says hope. A little taste of hope. Sometimes it tastes a lot like coffee. Verse 14, for if we believe that Yahshua died and rose again, even so Elohim will bring with him those who sleep in Yahshua, those who have died. And they've died believing and obeying Yahshua. For this that we say to you by the word of Yahweh, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of Yahweh will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Master himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of Elohim. And the dead in the Messiah shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Master in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Master. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And how are the dead raised? Paul brings that to us in 1 Corinthians 15, 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, or a blink of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we who follow and obey Yahshua, that's my insertion there, we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the Torah. But thanks be to Elohim, who gives us the victory through our Master, Yahshua the Messiah. Everyone may say, Hallelujah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not in vain in Yahweh. Trumpets have been a signal for Yahweh to save his people for at least 3,500 years. That's back to the time of Moses. And I think that is going to end soon. A day is coming when Yahweh will not save his people anymore. Why will that be? Because they shall all be saved. Just before the end, there will be a series of trumpets sounding. We read about that in Revelation 8. John writes, I saw the seven messengers or angels who stand before Elohim, and to them were given seven trumpets. And in Revelation 11, beginning at verse 14 to verse 19, we read, the second woe is past, and see, the third woe is coming speedily. And the seventh messenger sounded, and there came to be a loud voices in heaven saying, the reign of this world has become the reign of our Master and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. And Revelation 11, 16, and the 24 elders sitting before Elohim on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped Elohim, saying, we give you thanks, O Yahweh El Shaddai, the one who is and who was and who is coming, because you have taken your great power and reigned. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead to be helped, to be judged, and to give the reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the set apart ones, and to those who fear your name, small and great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. And that's come to a head now with global warming and whatever. Revelation 11, 19, and the dwelling place of Elohim was opened in the heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his dwelling place. And there came to be lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. I'm going to ask you to stand in a moment. These scriptures show us that the trumpets, and especially this Feast of Trumpets, remind us that Yahweh saves his people who call upon him in faith and righteousness. So let us all pray for the blessing of Yahshua coming in his return, and the great sound of Yahweh's trumpet when the believers will be changed, and the dead in Messiah will be raised to eternal life.